Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello, and welcome to the Business Infrastructure Show, where we share tips and resources to help you cure back office blues. I'm your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre, and I'm joined today by Josh Carey. Josh spent 40 years in hiding. That's right. He was hiding every aspect of himself and showing up with a mask on in all areas of life, trying to gain the approval of everyone else. At 19, he changed his name and entered into what would become a 15-year career as a professional actor and filmmaker. But the applause and external accolades didn't completely heal his feelings of anxiety and insecurities, and he found himself more isolated than ever. Today, Josh is a podcast host and business coach to entrepreneurs who are ready, willing, and able to say, F that noise. F that noise in their head that's been acting as the excuse for remaining where they are. Today, Josh is going to share with us the one thing we need to know about finding our voice so that we can become better business owners and entrepreneurs. I'm particularly looking forward to this conversation and hearing what Josh has to say about certain things that I'm going to ask him. So without any further ado, Josh, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I am so well, Alicia. Thank you so much for inviting me and opening up this conversation.
Well, I already appreciate the energy you're bringing. Wow.
Thank you.
Now, the name of your website as well as your podcast is The Hidden Entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little more about what you do at both? I know you have, there's some coaching that you do, but you also have your podcast. So can you talk to us a little bit about both?
Sure. So as you said, I am the hidden entrepreneur, and that is simply because I finally admitted that, my goodness, I've been spending all of my life, 40 plus years of my life, hiding, showing up in every situation in life, in social, in personal relationships, and of course, in business, hiding all of my power, all of my ability, opting instead to seek the approval of others, to just go out and put on this front in an attempt to say, will you like me? Will you validate me? And what I was expecting them to validate was this story, this false belief, in essence, this lie that I sold myself as truth from a very young age, thinking, just trying to make heads or tails of the world around me as a young child, where you already have no real resource or understanding. But, you know, I said, you know what I seem to believe right now, and of course all this is at a very real subconscious level, but I said, I'm getting the impression that nobody really wants me around here and that I'm not capable of doing much of anything. So from that day forward, I slapped that label onto myself, wore it proudly, and what do? You then go out into the world and you look for the people, the circumstances, the events, and the experience that will absolutely validate that truth for you. And people are very willing to validate your label for you. And the whole irony is that there was a lot of struggle and a frustration and anger and anxiety and strife through all this, because on a deep level, this is what I believed about myself. Hmm. But on a other level, I would go home behind closed doors and wonder, why am I doing this? I know better. I'm better than this. I am so capable. I'm seeing what people are doing, what they're creating, and I could do that, but I was just paralyzed with all this fear and, again, desperately needing to validate this truth that I sold myself, that I'm not good enough. So it was just this whole lifelong conflict of, I'm not good enough. Nobody wants me around. But of course I am. Yes, I am. So I would go out and expect people to, on one level, on a real deep level, validate my own truth. But on a surface level, say, hey, would you just validate me and acknowledge how good I am, how capable I am, and just like me, desire me, respect me? But nobody was doing that because I was showing up with all these mixed signals and nobody knows what to do with that, including yourself. So until I was finally able to sit down, take an honest assessment of what is really going on here, why am I bothered, what's happening here, and the arrival of my two extraordinary, beautiful children today. I have a 6-year-old daughter, a 4-year-old son, who I give shout outs to as often as possible because they have become the reason I am who I am today. Early on in their existence, I realized that, oh, okay, guys, I see what's happening here. I'm the child in this relationship. And I got to, that wasn't really working out for any of us. I saw the way they were looking at me. I got it. Clear message received. Got it, guys. And then I'm looking at them, you know, so young, so wonderful, powerful, loving, playful, significant, confident. And I'm saying, you guys got it going on. This is extraordinary to watch. You guys are everything I've ever wished I would have been or could have been. I'm going to get out of your way for a while. I'm going to parent the best that I can. And I'm going to be over here working on myself for a little bit. And that was it. That was the final straw. And I said, I'm not going to continue to be this person, desperate, needy, insecure. Have my children watch that, only know that that's who their father is, and then that's the impression I leave them with? No way. I always wanted to be a father all my life, and given the chance, I said, all right, got to do the work. I've always known I was capable. Now I am going to put in the work. So here I am, created the Hidden Entrepreneur, to sort of give myself that path, that journey, that excuse, if you will, to model for others and model for myself and certainly model for my children what in the world is possible and what a life led well looks like. And it's just a moment by moment, day to day chain of events that seem to be going okay for me so far.
That was excellent. Thank you, Josh, for that. Now, so the Hidden Entrepreneur, when you come out of hiding, part of coming out of hiding is knowing who you are. And part of knowing who you are is being able to find your voice.
Yes. Right?
And that's what we're going to be talking about. So first of all, what does that actually mean, to find your voice? And what would you say, if you had to give one thing that we need to know about finding our voices, what would that one thing be?
You absolutely cannot find your voice in your head. You cannot find your voice behind closed doors. You cannot find your voice staying quiet, right? I mean, that's logic, but logic never really does us well in most scenarios. But realize that finding your voice requires getting yourself heard, putting yourself out there. And that step is often what prevents us from finding your voice, from achieving what you know darn well you should be doing, could be doing, and would be doing if you just got out of your own way. So finding your voice, right? This is my voice. I can't find it just thinking about it. I can't find it in my head. I can't find it behind closed doors. I got to go out and voice things. So what does it mean? It just means discovering who you truly are in all sorts of situations and living that person and being that person. And how do you do it? Slowly but surely, one step at a time. Because I spent all my life not moving in any direction I knew I should have been. So when you're ready to find your voice, you have to start speaking. You have to start doing. You have to start moving. You have to start stepping into a direction, the direction that I know you know you want to move in. Anytime you say, oh, I can't, I won't, I don't know, you do know. You're just looking for the permission. You're looking for the out not to. But when you're ready, willing, and able to find your voice, start taking the one small step in the right direction. You don't have to rip the Band-Aid off. Just start talking. Just start speaking. Just start whispering. Just start opening yourself up, whatever that translates to you. And you have to do it, try it, acknowledge it, see how people respond, adjust it, go forward, try something else, try that, get a little louder and bolder and more powerful, and repeat.
So that sounds like a process.
It is a process. Well, nothing's
coming, love that.
Right? There's a little bit of work involved.
Yes. Well, before I actually would like to kind of talk through those you know, overall as a process, what that actually looks like. But first, you know, I remembered looking at your website and I saw something that really stuck with me. And it said, one of the biggest things that you learned was that I can't, quote unquote, I can't tweak my business until I tweak myself. And so on this show, you know, this is all about growing your business and operating it on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of times that means you have to hire more people. You have to have processes in place. You have to have certain tools to make your work more productive and more efficient. But growth is very scary. And especially when you're talking about scaling and truly taking your company to the next level. And so sometimes we find, Josh, that the skills that we have that it took to actually start the business and even grow it to a certain point, we might reach a level in our companies where we recognize, I may not possess a certain skill set. And I could almost see how the fear and self-doubt and feelings of inadequacy that may have crept up from the very beginning when you were first starting out your business, how that can slowly start to rear its ugly head all over again. Can you talk to us very specifically about some of the types of people that we can rely on to help us find our voice again, I guess, in that type of situation?
Well, certainly it's going to depend on the person's business model, their strengths, their talents, their abilities, right? So when you're finding your voice, you can do it where you are getting it out there as a solopreneur and as a one-person operation. But as you just alluded to, eventually you're going to want to hire and bring people on. And in my case, that phrase you mentioned, when I realized I can't tweak my business until I tweak myself, nothing I was doing, going back to the drawing board, was working because it was from the outside in. I was serving an industry, and I kept hitting the same wall. Now, I was surviving, I was paying my bills, I was supporting a family, but going back to that internal struggle that I know there's so much more here, right? That innate frustration that we feel when just there's this block and we're not satisfied with the outcome. And for so long, I couldn't figure out why. I was ignoring all the reasons why. So I would put something out, try to serve this audience, try to improve and increase my business, put it out there, and it just wouldn't succeed as I thought. So I said, okay, I'm going to get this right. I'm going to scribble harder. I'm going to build this bigger, and I'm going to make it much more colorful, fancy, and they're going to love this. And then I, you know, put all that energy into it and then put it out there. And they're like, yeah, no, that's not working for us at all. Because look what was happening. I was creating from such an inappropriate, ineffective place for myself. I didn't know my voice. I was hiding that. So I wasn't able to tweak my business until I tweaked myself. And here now, in this brand where I am, the Hidden Entrepreneur, it's all sorts of proof that until I was able to work internally, do that work behind closed doors, and then bring it forward, the right people see it. I can attract the right team members who are also excited by it. So we are drawn to each other in a very comfortable, natural way. And there's no struggle, no conflict, because I'm putting out what I know to be my true voice that I have finally found, but also will continue to find. I've been at this for over a little over a year now. And the interesting thing about finding your voice is that it's not definite. It evolves. You change. Your message change, your thoughts and ideas change, your skills change over time. I go back and I listen and watch some of my videos and my podcast episodes just from a year ago. And I'm not really embarrassed, but I'm like, wow, I see a different person already. So when you show up each day, rediscovering your voice and reestablishing your voice and continuing to vocalize your truth, your thoughts, your passion, your ideas, getting them out there, you're going to be surprised how quickly things evolve. And you have to get really comfortable with that, because take this very dialogue, for example. I'm here. I think that this is the best, the most significant I can be. I'm present. I'm giving it my all. But in 6, 12, or 24 months, I'm going to listen back on this dialogue, and I'll probably cringe. But isn't that a good thing, right? Aren't I going to cringe? I'm going to say, my goodness, Josh, listen how you sounded. Of course, I'm not going to beat myself up. I would have. But now I'm like, that's growth. That's improvement. Right. But the trap is people will prevent themselves from even showing up to a place like this because they anticipate, it might not come out good. How's it going to sound? And then all these scenarios come in. And that's the core thing you have to get over.
And that's so true, because even when I am scouting for potential guests on the podcast, I've been amazed, Josh, at people that I really admire as business owners who are scared to death of being interviewed. And I'm like, wow, that's so interesting to me, because they come across as such confident people, but their reaction sometimes when I ask them, hey, wow, I really think my audience could benefit from hearing from you, because you do something that's very unique and you're so good at it. Hey, why don't you come on my podcast and talk to myself and my audience about it? And they freeze up.
They ghost, right?
It's so interesting to me. Now, okay, so if we tie this, again, back to business infrastructure, and for those who are listening to this show for the first time, business infrastructure is a system for how you link your people, your processes, and your tools to ensure that your company grows in a profitable and sustainable way. So as I'm listening to you, Josh, from a people perspective of business infrastructure, the first thing that keeps coming up to mind is our coaches. And so I definitely see now how you are able to coach people in finding their voice or rediscovering their voice. Now, we started talking about process, and you were starting to say, it's about self-reflection, looking from doing this from the inside out, and getting bolder, and then maybe even regrouping and changing up the message and kind of looping through that whole process over again. Did I capture that correctly, or is there a better way to say it? And if so, please, by all means, tell us what that actual process really looks like.
Well, I think whether you're talking about the process of your business or, as you pointed out, the from the people perspective. Now, I've always been or considered myself a people person, especially today. I realize more than ever that I love people. I love the human construct of things. I love sociology and how it applies to, and of course, psychology and how it applies to everything we do, how we do it, why we do it, the way in which we do it. It's just all fascinating. But I've also realized that I would show up in these situations with a ball of angst and anxiety and fear, trying to get people to like me, approve of me, and accept me. It never works. So if you show up in your day-to-day, even behind closed doors or with your team, or trying to put together the right process to achieve something in your business, in your world, it's so muddled and cluttered in your mind, in your thoughts, in your heart, in your being, in your existence, that it literally blocks everything. The only way to thrive and be so creative and productive, I have found what works for me, is to find the way to get out of your own way, to work through the fear, because it's not about putting the fear to rest for good. You're going to have significant moments of fear, which, you know, just means you are on the right track. Continue down that and gain the courage to work through it, and the confidence that you gain through experience. The more you do it, the more you realize that you can do it. So whether it's a process you're trying to form or people you're trying to connect with, in any regard in your life or business, you have to work on yourself, and that takes some honest reflection. For me, I was, you know, the worst, the look and the book definition of angst and anxiety, and especially with my kids, they were shining this great big spotlight on that, and I realized that I, from the minute I wake up and how I wake up to the minute I go to bed and how I go to bed, there are a few dozen habits and rituals and patterns that I'm doing, small, medium, and large, that are not serving me and not the kind of person I want to be. So I was ready, willing, and able to make the changes, to say, okay, here's a few dozen things that I know every day, again, small, medium, and large, that are preventing me from being the best I can. I want to get this right. So it's not about ridding yourself overnight of all of these. That's the trap. That's the danger. You don't have to do that. What you have to do is take one small step at a time. Replace one non-serving habit or pattern with a slightly better one. You do that over days, over weeks, over months, over years. Things start to work out for you. It's just that kind of a process.
Well, this is a great place to take a break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about some tools and resources that you recommend in helping us find our voice. I also want to ask you exactly what you mean by us speaking out more. But let's take this quick break. As your company grows, it's easy to fear losing yourself and your voice as you build your team. This is how Emily Miller felt when she was faced with the prospect of taking her organization to the next level. It wasn't until she found her voice that she realized how to capitalize on her strengths and save her organization from doom. Find out exactly how she did that in Chapter 2 of Behind the Facade, How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success. Her story might help you see your business in a new light too. Visit behindthefacadebook.com or go to Amazon to get your copy today. And we are back with Josh Carey. Josh, before that break, you were telling us about the one thing we need to know about finding our voices and how you recommend, number one, first and foremost, that we get outside of our heads. But I'm curious, what exactly do you mean when you say that we have to start speaking out more? Are you talking about, well, first, let me just ask you that. And then if I have more questions, I'll follow up.
Sure. Well, it's directly connected to how do you find your voice? You have to start speaking and you have to hear your voice and you have to figure out what you're saying and your voice. And that's about your message and who you are and what you stand for and what you're about and who you want to be standing for and who you want to be about. What kind of a person do you want to be? And that's what you have to speak out about, right? So the way you do that is by reflecting on who you are, where you've been, where you've come from, and where you want to go. That's really the whole premise of me and my brand, The Hidden Entrepreneur. I share my message, my story, in the hopes that people get it, relate to it, and say, yes, I am and was the same way. What are you doing about it? And they can tune in, they can watch, they can listen, and I'm doing things about it, speaking out and just sharing my thoughts, my ideas. So what can somebody who's listening do right now who wants to start finding their voice in the comfort of your own space? What I do is one of the things, it begins with meditation. Now, hear me out. I used to hate that word. It never used to resonate. I used to just blow it off. I never had anything to do with it until I was at a place in life where it made sense to me. Now, you can define it however you want, but it's just sitting quietly and finding the way to turn down the noise in your head and to think a little differently and to be a little quieter so the true you, i.e. your voice, can actually come out in a way that makes sense. So once you acknowledge meditation and start to understand who you really are, what your message is, what your story is, where you're going, and most importantly, what in the world do you want, right? Have a clear picture and vision on what do you want. And then from there, the segue is, you don't have to get anything out in this first step. It's first getting things down, right? Getting them down on paper, whether it's a notebook or a digital app or somewhere that you can just start capturing your honest thoughts, feelings, emotions, ideas, and just let it flow through you. You don't have to get anything out at this point. This is the idea phase and the preparation phase. So start journaling or writing or putting things down, and then you can start taking that from behind closed doors. And that's when the process of finding your voice meets the rubber, because now you're starting to allow others to hear it, get direct feedback from your message and your story, and hone it and work it from there. And slowly but surely, you will start seeing your life move in the direction that you are deliberately taking the action to move it towards.
There's a quote that came to mind as I was listening to you just now. I remember having a conversation with a very good friend of mine years ago. We were both working at this company and we were both very miserable. I ended up leaving, and I remembered her telling me, she said, well, we were also going to school together at night. And I remember telling her about one of our classmates, and I said, well, he works at the company that you're interested in. Why don't you share, you know, your resume with him? And she said, well, I don't want to do that because I'm afraid that if word gets out, then somehow that'll make it back to my boss some type of way at a completely different company. So it prevented her from moving forward. And I remembered telling her, because I was getting increasingly frustrated with having these conversations with her. And I said, well, you know what? A closed mouth never gets fed. So when I was attempting to understand what you meant by really speaking out and listening to your explanation, I was like, okay, so that's kind of in the same spirit, right? You know, if there's something that you want, you have to articulate that, whether that be in one-on-one meetings that you might have with people, if it's something that you an important message that you need to communicate to your employees, to your team, to your colleagues. No one can help you if they don't know where you're trying to go.
Yeah, and you bring up such a great point, and I'll make this analogy. So in that situation, maybe her resume or maybe talking to that person isn't the best next move for her, but it's okay. So let's take the example of somebody wants to lose weight. It's an easy, obvious example. We all know, we could relate to, we understand. But what's the trap when somebody gets it in their head that they want to lose weight? They go all in and they try to say, well, I'm going to lose 50 pounds in 3 weeks. I'm going to go to the gym every night. I'm going to eat three salads a day. I'm going to do all this kinds of stuff. And we know typically, statistically, how that works out. So in order to improve your chances, whatever your goal is, whatever you feel you don't want to do, like again, great story where she didn't want to send her resume. So she needed a little bit more of a confidence booster, really, to get to that point. So instead of just dropping the whole thing and forgetting about it, let's work up to that. So in the losing weight scenario, you don't want to go to the gym yet? Fine, don't go to the gym. Can you drink more water? Probably. Can you get a better night's sleep? Probably. Can you cut one snack or candy bar or sugar, just one, out of your day? Probably, if you're ready, willing, and able to make the change, make the one change, and then you will build up to a person who goes to the gym 3 days a week. But you might not start there. Whatever your own block is, it's okay, right? It's okay to tiptoe, to walk slowly, to walk one step at a time into the direction you want to go. That's how I did it. I have now a few dozen great habits that I indulge in during the day because they serve me and they support me. But I didn't just wake up and automatically start doing all of these things. So I hope that sort of spells it out. If you're not ready to do this great big thing that you're still a little hesitant to, work on really what can you do? What is the problem here? Is it a confidence thing? And why is that the case? What are you really scared of? Why are you scared of it? Takes some reflection and some honest talk for yourself, but it's possible to get there and to start making these small improvements that show you the kind of person you are and can be and will be once you strip away all of this noise in your head.
What I'm learning about myself now that we're having this conversation is I need to be more patient with people like my friend and also become more patient with myself, because I do this to myself as well. If there's something, a change that I want to make about something that I do or the way I may approach something, I do tend to lean towards that all or nothing approach, which isn't always very effective, Josh. So what I'm learning is from listening to you is that I definitely just need to be more patient. And I think one of the reasons, and I don't know if for anyone else who's listening, if you also feel the same way, but it's what you were talking about earlier with all of the noise. There's so many people telling you what you should be doing and where they feel you should be at a certain point or by a certain point in your business, or even if it's something personally. And when you don't meet that particular metric, you do tend to beat up on yourself. And that's when I can actually become very impatient with myself. So if we could kind of segue into some tools and resources that you recommend. I like that you mentioned meditation. Do you have some other resources, or is there a specific guided meditation that you can recommend, or some books or webinars? And I know that there's special events that you also host, right?
Yeah, so in the meditation field, again, that was never me, right? I spent all of my life just disregarding it. I heard it all my life. But just like anything else, you're only ready to hear something when you're ready to hear it. And finally, I came across meditation, and I was like, maybe there's something to this. I'm now drawn to it. Today, absolutely free app on your phone. Who doesn't like a free app? One of the leaders in the industry is a meditation app. It's called Insight Timer, and it very self-explanatory. Any length of time, any style, you can search by keyword. You can, you know, just click around and see what resonates with you. But Insight Timer, I use every single night. And again, there's really no wrong way to meditate, so do not get caught up on that. I happen to meditate at night. Some people meditate first thing in the morning. That's not my thing. So around 9:30 before bed, I go into my living room, darken the lights, sit on a chair, pull up Insight Timer, and whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or 30 minutes, whatever it is, it's a win. And I use the app, and I feel great about it. So if you want to venture down that path, Insight Timer is the app to use.
If I may, I'd also like to share a resource. So I joined Toastmasters several years ago.
Oh, yes.
That was huge in helping me gain clarity about what I wanted for myself personally, as well as through my business. And Toastmasters, for those listening, if you're not familiar with it, it's a public speaking organization, and they tout that they also help you develop leadership skills, and it's true. The two go do go hand in hand. I also noticed, Josh, I was watching a video that you had on your website called "I Don't Care What You Think," and I heard that you will actually be in my neck of the woods, Atlanta, Georgia, in November of 2019. Now, not to date this, but Do you typically do special events like that? And if so, where can people find out about those events?
Well, thank you for asking. Here's how my current life happens to tie into that. I come from the acting and film world, so which we didn't even touch upon, but long story short, I was bit by the acting bug in eighth grade, and I was cast as the comic relief, and that's the character that is responsible for breaking the tension that has been built up through humor, through laughter. And I was cast in that role in eighth grade, which means that all of this anxiety, I was able to jump around on stage and have 300 of my schoolmates laughing. I know they were laughing at me. They weren't laughing with me, but they were laughing at me. But I loved it because I was getting this seemingly positive attention. So I said, you know what? I want to do this for the rest of my life. So I coasted through high school, C's and D's at best, and started pursuing a what turned out to be a 15-year career in entertainment as an actor, as a part of a comedy team, as a writer, director, everything that I could just sink my teeth into, I did for so long, for 15 years in New York. I loved every minute of it. And what I really loved about that whole scenario is that everything you do is a collaboration. I always longed for community and connection, and this industry allowed for that. Even if you're in a one-man show, let's say, I mean, there's 50 people around you that need to come together to make that a possibility. Film is another great example. There are hundreds of departments and people that are all contributing to this one creative process. And I loved that. So when I sort of segued more into traditional entrepreneurship, I realized that I want to do live events. And I started doing them for the industry that I was working in. And I held it in Las Vegas every year because really, I love Vegas, and okay, I'll have an excuse to get out there. So let's hold it there. And what I loved about the live events is it resembled much of my filmmaking and performing days, where I'm creating this production and I get to bring in the contribution of all of these other creative people for an audience. So it just tapped into everything that I loved, all of my passions now relating to the entrepreneurial world. So that's a long-winded answer to say I see live events in my future for eternity, right? I mean, for as long as I can. I want to do versions of live events.
Okay. Well, how can people get in touch with you, Josh, if they want to learn more and possibly seek you out for your coaching services or even to be on your podcast maybe?
Sure. Anything is possible. I am wide open for ideas, collaboration, and opportunity. My website is the hub for all of that. You can watch videos. You can hear my episodes. You can read more about me and get in touch, of course. It's joshcarey.com. And also from there, you can click through to whatever social platform you like to participate in and find me there.
Okay. Well, Josh, I know we could go on and on for, I'm sure, another hour easily, but unfortunately, we have to wrap things up. But thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to speak with me today. I really appreciate it.
This has been brilliant, Alicia. Thank you so much.
All right. And now that we've heard from Josh, do you feel that you're better equipped to modify the way you communicate your business's growth goals? As a reminder, Josh said that the one thing we need to know about finding our voices is that we cannot find our voice being in our heads. It requires getting yourself heard. Finding your voice is about discovering who you truly are and speaking out about that. Something else that Josh said that I thought was really powerful is that people are willing to validate the labels that you put on yourself. So why not choose labels that serve you? Subconsciously, he said that we also can give ourselves mixed signals. He also said that we should take more cues from children because they certainly don't have problems placing limitations on themselves. Finding yourself takes time. He recommended to start speaking and moving in the direction that you want to go in. And sometimes we do hit a wall in our personal as well as business development. And that can happen, especially if we use an outside-in approach instead of an inside-out. Keep in mind, your skills will change, especially as you're growing your company. The skills that it took to start it might not necessarily be the skills that it will take to bring your company to the next level. So don't be afraid to go through the rediscovery process all over again and finding your voice. And something else that Josh said that I definitely think I need to personally practice is to make sure to be patient with ourselves, take our time, don't rush this process of finding yourself. If nothing else, take small incremental steps until you accomplish your goals. And I just like to also add to that, that when you find your voice, you're going to find that you will speak and lead with more confidence and clarity. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. Don't grow alone. If you want to know more about finding your voice on your journey through business growth, definitely reach out to Josh. As he said, go to joshcarey.com, and that serves as a hub for all things Josh Carey. So that includes his consulting and coaching services, as well as his podcast, videos, and it's also a hub to reach out to him through different social media platforms. As a reminder, we will have links to all of the resources that Josh shared in the show notes at businessinfrastructure.tv. Did you know that we have a YouTube channel? Yep, that's right. You can now find this show as well as other how-to videos on YouTube. Just go to businessinfrastructure.tv and look for the link. When you get there, be sure to subscribe and click the notification bell so that you'll know when the next episode airs. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.